Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is one of my favorite people, not only in the world, but the universe, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Welcome back, Tom. We go back a long way, and it's always great to talk to you.
Oh, it's great to catch up with you, Alan, especially during challenging times. And I appreciate when I'm in Albany, as I am so much, that after I wake up, I put you on at 7:45 and love your early morning commentary with David.
So let me go a little bit further than usual and say, okay, Tom DiNapoli, Comptroller of New York State, what's the bad news?
Well, you know, the bad news is what we've been following. We're seeing in recent days an uptick in hospitalizations and the infection rate in our state after many months of really making great progress, certainly in comparison to other states, certainly in comparison to where we were back in March, April, and May. And, you know, to the extent that the public health crisis is what's driven the turn down in the economy, the downturn in government revenues that we track so carefully, you know, the concern all along has been if we are headed to a second wave, that the progress we've been slowly making in reopening the economy, slowly making in revenues picking up, that we're going to go back in the opposite direction. So, you know, I do hope that people are using common sense, especially as we head into the colder weather and more indoor activities and, you know, the holidays coming up, that we that this is just a temporary blip upward because, you know, Alan, All the numbers that we're putting out still show that we're, you know, way behind where we were last year. Our state budget still has a significant gap. We're still waiting to hear what may come from Washington. So all of this is tied to public health and to dealing with COVID-19 and getting those numbers back down.
Well, do you find yourself talking to Andrew Cuomo or his staff about this bad news? I mean, obviously, we'll go into some specific questions in a minute, but obviously, yep, they've got to be very concerned about this.
Well, they have been. And you know, look, to their credit, with all the challenges that we have in revenue being off, the governor, through the division of the budget, they have been successfully managing cash flow for the state. Now, that doesn't come without some consequence and, frankly, some pain. So when they've withheld certain payments, particularly to local governments, some payments to nonprofits as well, that hurts. But, you know, on the other hand, withholding that money, not making it a permanent cut at this point, you know, withholding is better than a permanent cut. The challenge, Alan, is going to be if we don't get that additional help from Washington, if our economy goes in reverse instead of slowly moving forward, and we have no choice other than to institute significant across-the-board cuts, it really is going to transfer the state's budget problems to other levels of government, and that's a concern. The other issue is we've been managing and keeping the state afloat by relying on borrowing, about $4.5 billion of short-term borrowing that has to be paid back, you know, within this fiscal year. So, you know, I, the governor and his team, I think, have been, you know, effectively managing how we're getting through all of this week to week, day to day. But, you know, at some point we're gonna hit a wall. And we've talked about it before in your show. The governor is right. I echo his call. We can't do this without additional support from Washington. They must get back to a resolution of having an additional federal stimulus and relief package. It should have happened already, Alan, but we all know what's been happening in Washington. They've got to get back on track with that. It has to include direct support for states and localities as well.
Tom DiNapoli, in just a few short weeks, there will be a transfer of power, theoretically, although we know that the President of the United States is doing everything in his power to resist that. And so my question then would be, do we have enough time to wait for Biden?
I mean, the short answer is that we do. The longer answer is that the more that this drags out, the less time we will be prepared to respond if the worst case scenario plays out. Now, what do I mean by that? The worst case scenario is a increased infection rate and a going backwards across the state on reopening and in fact going back towards a close down of the economy, so our revenues fall off even more. And there is not a resolution, even with a President Biden. Let's say the Senate stays Republican control, and let's say Mitch McConnell digs in and says no additional aid for states. It's a bailout for blue states, which is nonsense. We could talk more about that. But let's say that's their position and there is no additional support. We would then have, arguably, you know, from January 20th, the fiscal year for us ends March 31st, a very short time frame. And you would see a great deal of pain inflicted in terms of budget cuts. I don't know where the legislature, you know, we'd have a new legislature by then at the state level. What would they do in terms of either borrowing questions or tax questions? It would be a very very, very difficult circumstance. If, on the other hand, January 20th kicks in, Biden's able to use his well-honed skills of working across the aisle with Senate colleagues, even if the Republicans still are in control, if they could come up with some kind of an agreement, even if it's less than what Speaker Pelosi and her colleagues have been fighting for in their HEROES Act legislation, if we come up with some resolution, let's say, you know, early February, and we get more money, there's certainly time for us because of the money we still have in the general fund, the successful management of cash flow that I alluded to earlier. There's still time for us to get through. But Alan, that the economic hangover and the resulting decrease in revenues coming to the state, that's going to be with us more than just 2020 or even 2021. We are headed for a phase, hopefully not for too many years, but I'm sure we're talking years, of tough choices at the state level on budget, what we're going to spend, on taxes, and on borrowing. This is going to be a difficult couple of years for us in New York.
Of course, it's not the billions we're talking about here, but the governor says he won't accept his long-scheduled pay raise, and he's calling on his fellow constitutional officers, you and others, to say, I won't take mine either. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, a call wasn't necessary. The governor and the state has already deferred the scheduled negotiated raises for state workers till January 1st. My view was, if that continues, and it looks like it will, there's no reason why those of us not represented by a union that are scheduled for an increase, why we should get an increase as well. So absolutely, an increase scheduled for myself is something that I had already determined should be deferred in the context of what we're going through and the deferral that other state workers are facing. So that's absolutely the right decision.
John DiNapoli, the federal balance of payments report is out once again today. And yes, New York gets, for want of a better word, screwed again. 91 cents to the dollar. We send them a dollar, they give us 91 cents worth. According to a report that you have just released, New York taxpayers paid $23.7 billion more in federal taxes than the state received in federal spending in federal fiscal year 2019. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we're picking up on the late, great Senator Moynihan's reporting of this balance of payments question. And Bob Ward, who heads our budget and policy group and a big fan of Senator Moynihan, suggested a couple of years ago we reactivate that kind of reporting. So this is our latest iteration of the report, and especially in the context of the debate about whether or not Washington should be getting more money to New York, but really all states. Obviously, our concern is very local in terms of New York. And what this report shows is we're still on the short end of the stick. So the last report that we had, I guess was 2017 numbers, we were getting 90 cents back for every federal tax dollar that New York has sent to Washington, 91 cents back in federal spending. So 90 cents in 2017. So now in the report we released today, it's 91 cents. So we got a 1 cent increase. That's not much. that's not much of an increase. We're still one of a handful of states that are net losers in terms of the total amount that you mentioned, the $23 billion. We're at the bottom of the list. You know, most states get back $1.20 more for every dollar that they send to Washington. So we're still a net giver, and you know, it doesn't mean, you know, and the report goes in great detail on the different categories of federal spending. You know, on some programs we do leverage more money than other states, Medicaid being a prime example. But when you add up all the different federal spending, all the different kind of federal programs, procurements and salaries and so on, and other entitlement programs, we're a net loser, getting 91 cents back for every dollar. We continue to support in very generous ways and maybe appropriate ways. We're a higher income state than other states. Perhaps we'll always be, a net giver. But you know what? Especially with everything we're going through, especially with New York getting hit first and hardest by the pandemic, we need more sympathy than we've been getting out of Washington. Because you know what? Let's look also at New York. Contribution to the nation's economy, to the nation's gross domestic product. If New York doesn't come back, the nation's not going to come back. So in the context of the debate over federal relief and stimulus, we felt it was important to have an updated report and, gaining 1 cent on the net balance of payments, that doesn't help us deal with what we're dealing with at all. So the call is, once again, New York has been generous. We've given a lot to Washington, especially in our time of need. Look at those numbers, Mitch McConnell and members of the Senate. Be more understanding of the needs that we have here in New York for our state, for our locality, for the MTA. You know, Alan, I was up in the North Country last week, and, you know, in the North Country, in the Adirondacks, they were asking me about support for the MTA. Why? Bombardier. A lot of jobs attached to companies in the North Country that are building the trains, the equipment that the MTA uses downstate. So keeping the MTA viable, enabling them to still have a capital plan and provide mass transit, that's of interest to all New Yorkers, not just folks in New York City.
Yeah. Well, now tell me about, you know, the actual financial update in terms of where we're getting hurt. For example, tell me about the sales tax collection. The decline was 5.2%. Where's that coming from?
That was the October number. You know, for year over year, we're down over 10%. But you know, we're also looking monthly, and you're right, 5.2% drop. This October compared to October a year ago. Look, it's better. I mean, the second quarter of this year, we were down 27%. So we're seeing an improvement in sales tax collection, but the bottom line is we're still down. We're still in a negative. Sales tax is the second biggest tax revenue source for the state after personal income tax. You know, we're heading into the holiday season, often a busy time for retail. One factor, Alan, you know, because folks say to me, isn't part of this the fact that so many stores are closed and people aren't going shopping and going to the malls and so on because of COVID-19? But now, because of court, you know, court decisions and changes, we're now collecting more on internet sales than we were before. And obviously, there's been a big increase in that in terms of COVID-19. So, you know, I'm hopeful that as we go to the prime holiday season, we'll see some continued uptick in those sales tax numbers. But again, if we go backwards on the economy's reopening, if restaurants, God forbid, have to close down again, already, you know, their hours of operation are being curtailed. In the colder weather, those that are doing the outdoor dining, that may not become an option. You know, that's an example of a sales tax revenue that could, in fact, go in the opposite direction of what we need. So, you know, again, we're very much tied to people staying safe, the numbers working, so we can continue to keep this economy, even if it's at a slow pace, it has to be reopening. People have to be working. People have to be spending money, even more so than, you know, getting that money from Washington. Having the economy be back to some level of normalcy is very important. And obviously, Alan, that's tied to the vaccine and the progress. I mean, we've heard this week of, you know, multiple reports of options as far as a vaccine. But when will that actually be declared safe? And after declared safe, what is the plan for distribution? How quickly will we be able to line up and take advantage of that in New York State? You know, so there's a lot circling around this question about how quickly we're going to recover and see a benefit in those revenues, sales tax, and otherwise.
We're talking to New York State Comptroller, my friend Tom DiNapoli. Tom, I guess I want to know this. Are people paying their taxes? Are the businesses paying their taxes? I don't see
how
they can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the short answer is yes. But I think as we, you know, look, a lot of the businesses, you know, they've been surviving because, you know, many of them took advantage of the PPP, the federal program, and the small business loans. Now, that program, you know, hasn't been reauthorized. That's another big piece when we talk about stimulus and relief. What will be done for businesses to help them through this tough time? You know, the average person out there, many folks are working less hours. Some people are out of work. Are they still going to be able to pay their property taxes? Now, property tax is not a state tax, right? So the state doesn't benefit from that. But at the local government level, where they're concerned, because, right, there's been a delay from many local governments in the state monies that they were expecting, they're concerned that that could become a permanent cut in local assistance. What if they get hit with people not being able to pay their property taxes? We don't know the answer to that yet. But over time, Alan, I do worry at a household level, if people are out of work, are they going to be able to pay their property taxes? You know, you know, New York City, we talk about a lot. You have all these buildings where, you know, you have vacancies. People aren't necessarily collecting rents as they have been. You're going to see a big uptick in the applications for reduction in assessments in New York City. That may happen in other parts of the state as well. You reduce assessment, that's going to reduce tax revenue as well. So we have a lot of moving parts, and unfortunately, many of them moving in the wrong direction. Again, we've got to get back to safety, first and foremost, vaccine available, economy continue to reopen, people spending money, people working. Let me on this point, mention one other quick factoid here. For unemployment benefits, you know, we do the final part of that after it's processed by the State Department of Labor. We've paid out over thus far $53 billion in unemployment benefits, $53 billion in the year 2020, and the year's not over. For all of last year, we paid out in 2019 a little over $2 billion. That gives you a sense of the magnitude at a household level, right? At a very personal level of how many people have been out of work, how many people have been displaced by this economy and the fallout from COVID-19. You know, people are hurting. And Alan, it's very hard to rationalize Wall Street doing so well, and folks on Main Street still hurting.
Yeah, it is. So if people don't pay their property taxes, what's the direct line to the state?
Well, you know, again, we don't have a state property tax, so it's you know, it's less of a direct line in terms of a tax revenue. But if our local governments that are already stressed, right, they're on the front lines of dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, the Coronavirus Relief Fund from the federal government only gave money to reimburse for COVID-19 to half dozen of our larger counties and the town of Hempstead and New York City, right? So most of our local governments have received nothing in terms of federal support, and they rely primarily on sales tax and some of them on counties on sales tax, towns, villages, cities, property tax is a big part of the equation. If they go into greater crisis, you know, they're going to look to the state, to make them whole. And the state, obviously, is not in a strong position to do that. So you could see an overall decline in communities if property tax is down, sales tax is down, state is cutting aid because the state has a budget hole, and if we don't get additional federal help, you just see a downward spiral. You know, that ultimately does affect the state. It could, because the entire economy suffers. So whether it's personal income tax, sales tax, you know, taxes that the state derives from real estate transactions, I mean, all of that goes into a tailspin. So property tax, while it's not a direct funding source for the state, if it puts our local governments in crisis, you know, coupled with the problem with sales tax revenue being off, you know, you could just see an overall decline. point, Alan, I don't want to say I'm predicting that, right? I don't want to be all gloom and doom on this, but the potential, you know, is certainly there. And that's why, again, hate to sound like a broken record on the 2 points. People have to use common sense to so we can control this virus and this pandemic. We've got to get that vaccine. And in the meantime, we need more help from Washington for our state, for New York City, for our local governments as well. It's got to be a combination of all of the above.
Following up on that, Tom DiNapoli, I haven't spoken to you since the election, but I'm wondering what you're thinking.
Well, I mean, it's just outrageous. We always pride ourselves in this country on having a, even with all of its imperfections, a representative democracy that's a model for the rest of the world. And the people have spoken. And you know, the corollary to all that is a peaceful transfer of power. And he is not providing for a transfer of power, denying to the president elect, and I'll say it forthrightly, we have a president elect named Joe Biden, denying him security briefings, denying him the ability for him to have his transition team meet with federal officials and provide for a smooth transition. I mean, transition. This is absolutely outrageous. And look, it's going to happen. I mean, I have enough confidence in our institutions, by the way, including the military, that they're not going to allow any kind of a coup or a barricading at the White House, although I guess they're barricading for Thanksgiving as a beginning. But you know what? We're still a divided nation. That's very clear. And the things Trump has been saying in terms of really denying the legitimacy of the Biden victory, it's a dog whistle for his supporters. And so you watch the news as I do, especially on certain stations, and you have people in the streets, you know, so this has been stolen, this is a fraud, this is, it's really outrageous, and it's really going to make it even more challenging for us to unite as a nation at a time of crisis. That being said, I believe Joe Biden, in many ways, is uniquely positioned to be that unifier and that healer that we need. He, to me, is his style of leadership is the perfect antidote to what we've been dealing with Trump. And let's just hope Trump. Let's hope they take the furniture out on January 20th, and Biden can hit the ground running. And I hope that the Republicans in the Senate, if they're going to still be in the majority, that they understand that there's a bigger purpose here, and it's time. We need a breather. We need to put the partisanship aside.
We sure do. Okay, Tom DiNapoli, our controller. Wall Street, of course, I've been looking at my 401k right now, is doing quite well. But it's not the economy. Not everybody has a 401k, that's for sure. So are Americans confused by this? Because Donald Trump keeps bragging about it.
Well, I mean, I think we should all be confused. And I do think at the end of the day, my view is this. For Wall Street's profitability to be sustainable over the long term, Main Street has to come back as well, right? So whatever trading is going on, and a lot of what drives the markets now is the technology sector, which obviously has benefited from what we've been going through, and the innovations that have been sparked by what we're living through right now. But the technology sector alone can't sustain the economy. So ultimately, even for Wall Street, they need to see a vaccine, right? They need to see a peaceful transfer of power politically in Washington, and they need to see that the economy is coming back across the board. In the meantime, those that are fortunate enough to have some investments, it's positive. Alan, our pension fund has been benefiting. We took a hit back, and we talked about this on your show in the past. March 31st is when we value the fund. The pandemic hit in mid-March. The markets were at their lowest point on March 23rd. We had a negative as of March 31st. But boy, we've roared back. We're now at $226 billion, largest estimated value we've ever been at. We've had two quarters of positive return, the last quarter over 6%, first quarter over 10%. You annualize those numbers. We're headed for a great year, I hope. on March 31st of 2021 when we next value the fund. You know, so there are some advantages in what we're going through. But your point is absolutely correct. Anybody that views the American economy to be measured by what's happening, you know, with the Dow Jones or the S&P, that is not the correct measure. That doesn't take into consideration what I mentioned earlier, you know, that $53 billion in unemployment benefits we're paying out this year. The hurt that is still there on Main Street, that so many families are suffering, that doesn't show up in the stock market figures. And until we deal with that, this economy is fragile. The returns on Wall Street are fragile. We should not be mistaken by what's happening on Wall Street now to say that we're in good shape from an economic point of view.
Let me ask you one-minute questions because we only have 3 minutes left. 300,000 people have fled New York since the pandemic hit, in New York City, that is, and that's beyond the state. Will New York City be able to rebound?
I mean, the short answer, 1 minute, is yes. That number includes some folks that moved out to my home territory of Long Island, so we haven't lost all of them for the state. Right. But look, New York City is, you know, when we talk about the slow reopening, New York City is behind the rest of the state. You know, I haven't been much to Manhattan because our office there is closed. I have gone in on a couple of occasions. It's not the Manhattan that we all knew, and New York City is still the economic engine for the state. We know the challenges they're dealing with, but Alan, we New York City came back after 9/11, that tragedy. New York City came back after the Great Recession, tanked the economy in the city. We will bounce back from this. It's going to be a tough road ahead, though. There's no doubt about it.
Are we getting screwed by the census? Apparently, not everybody opens the door.
Well, and that got complicated by the pandemic, obviously. Too soon, you know, we don't have the final numbers yet. You know, boy, we certainly tried. I know so many of the state officials tried to remind everybody the importance of responding. Look, you know, for the state, we'll see the final numbers. You know, the view always was we'd lose one congressional seat. I hope we don't lose two. You may see a redistribution, right? The people leaving the city, you may see some change in terms of the distribution within the state, in terms of some of that political power. But when we're talking about more federal aid, moving forward, so much of that is tied to your census numbers. So I sure hope that everybody was counted.
We're out of time. Our guest is New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Comptroller Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.